Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening in this week. It's just me today and a little bit of science. Growing up, I wanted to be a doctor. Actually, first, I wanted to be a veterinarian, but I quickly realized that that would not be a good fit for me. First, I'm deathly allergic to cats. Could I actually be the only vet in the world that doesn't take care of cats? Secondly, I knew that I could never handle all of the sickness of poor animals. I wouldn't be able to leave that at the office, and definitely would never be able to bring myself to euthanize an animal, even though I know it is the most humane thing to do in many situations. I'm that person that cries when a dog is lost or killed in a movie, but will totally sit and watch the goriest slasher movie. I know, it's weird. So I thought I'd become a doctor. For most of my childhood, my Christmas gifts were stethoscopes, otoscopes, and sphygmomanometers. I was probably the only child that knew what those terms meant. But somewhere along the way, I decided medicine wasn't for me, but I still loved biology. I majored in it, graduated, and got a job as a microbiologist. I even went back to school and got a master's degree in it. But my personality and my love did not mesh. I am too hyper to be stuck in a lab counting microorganisms. I may be the only microbiologist who turned their job into a competition. I had to do something to keep myself entertained. I would actually come into work and set up all of the Petri dishes, sometimes over 500 of them. I would then go to lunch, and upon returning, I would start the stopwatch and see how fast I could micropipette them out, each day trying to beat my personal best. Yeah, I know it's weird, but you gotta do what you gotta do. I ultimately left the world of microbiology to teach AP Bio. That lasted for about 7 years before I switched from biology to phys ed. Now, a long way from medicine, I teach adventure education. I teach students how to work together, build a team bond, to tie harnesses, rock climb, and even zip line. Yeah, I know, it's a tough gig. But the scientist is still in me, sometimes screaming to get out. When Mike and I began the winery, even though we both had substantial science backgrounds, back to school we went, earning our winemaking degree from UC Davis. While teaching, I created games in class like Amoeba Tag, which is a variation of a common named monster tag. In the directions, I explain binary fission to my students, which is how single organisms reproduce asexually. When we play softball, I explain the difference between reaction time and reflex, and might get a little bit too excited about telling the kids how annoyed I get when the announcers say that third baseman has great reflexes when they catch a fast hit ball. I'm no longer a scientist by trade, but I am still a science geek. I love reading scientific articles and being able to explain the science behind winemaking. I am always honored when people tell me that they've read an article of mine and it helped them understand wine more. That is the greatest compliment I could ever receive. While going through the program at UC Davis, one of the things I enjoyed the most was the soil classes. Learning how the soil affects the vine was beyond intriguing to me. And today, I'm sharing some of that science with you. So I hope you enjoy. You've heard the saying loads of times, great wine starts in the vineyard. It is said by so many vintners because it's true. Vine balance is an extremely important to producing excellent fruit. This concept, known as vine balance, is actually the balance between the vegetative, the green state, and the reproductive, fruiting state of the vine. We measure the reproductive growth as yield and the vegetative state as pruning weight. Many things can affect this balance. The amount of sunlight, the amount of water, these are the more obvious ones. What is often overlooked is the health of the soil itself. The nutrients that are in the soil have a direct impact on the vine's health. This is where biodynamic farming focuses. Way back in 1828, agricultural scientist Carl Sprengel developed the law of minimum. This concept was later popularized by Justus von Liebig, a German chemist. Liebig's law of minimum demonstrated that the essential plant nutrients, carbon, oxygen, and hydrogen, are absorbed from the air, whereas other nutrients are typically obtained from the soil. Grapevines, as well as us, require two types of nutrients, micro and macro. Macronutrients are those nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, calcium, sulfur, magnesium, carbon, oxygen, and hydrogen, while the micronutrients are those trace minerals, iron, boron, chlorine, manganese, zinc, copper, molybdenum, and nickel. Macronutrients are consumed in larger quantities and contribute to over 95% of the plant's entire biomass, which is the dry matter weight. Micronutrients are present in the plant tissues in quantities measured ranging from 0.1 to 200 parts per million, or less than 0.02% of the dry weight. Both macro and micronutrients have a tremendous impact on the health of the vine. If you think of a plant in two realms, the structure of the living organism and the actions that it takes to survive, the micro and macronutrients are necessary in order to make the organism complete and functioning. For example, remember studying the cell wall in high school biology class? I'm sure at some point you had under the microscope an animal cell and a plant cell. And the quiz or the test question was which? And you had to determine that the plant cell was the one with the cell wall. Well, that cell wall would not be intact if it wasn't for calcium, magnesium, iron, zinc, copper, and boron. Do you remember learning about hormones? Yes, plants have hormones too, and calcium, iron, and zinc are required. Even the science lover in me had issues remembering the whole photosynthetic process. It is so complex, and no wonder it requires copper, manganese, magnesium, potassium, and phosphorus to complete. I think you're getting the picture here. These nutrients are required in all aspects of the plant's survival. The interesting thing about these nutrients is that just like anything in life, too much can also be bad. We often think about lack of nutrients as being the problem, and often that is the case. But in some situations, the plant can be harmed by too much. Think overwatering a plant. Raise your hand if you've done that. Not that I can see it, but you know who you are. And now, a word from our sponsor. Hey everyone, you know how crazy we are about dogs. Well, we have teamed up with Cherrybrook Premium Pet Supplies to provide you with a $10 off your $100 order using code PRIDE10, or $5 off your $75 order using code PRIDE5. Cherrybrook proudly offers an extensive selection of USA-made products in all of their departments. Cherrybrook specializes in pet foods containing healthy, natural ingredients with only named protein sources, whole grains, and holistic ingredients, with many grain-free and raw frozen foods as well. They carry a comprehensive line of natural, holistic, and organic supplements, which when combined with a healthy diet, will help ensure that your fur baby lives a healthy and happy life. So use my link, rebrand.ly/DracenaCherrybrook, to show your favorite fur baby how much you love them and save $10 off your $100 order using code PRIDE10, or $5 off your $75 order using code PRIDE5. That's rebrand.ly/DracenaCherrybrook. We're going to start off with potassium deficiency. First, potassium is the letter K on the periodic table. Potassium deficiency develops when vines receive less potassium than what is required for normal growth and development, or with low soil pH levels, which for Vitis vinifera is typically less than 5. that decrease the ability of the potassium to the roots. Potassium is a mobile nutrient, and in the case of deficiency, the upper, younger leaves receive potassium rather than the lower, older leaves, therefore reddening the leaves in the lower part of the canopy first. Next up is magnesium, represented on the periodic table by the letters capital M, lowercase g. Magnesium is an essential part of chlorophyll and aids in the formation of sugars, oils, and fats. Magnesium-deficient vines have older leaves that are pale in color. Early on in the season, magnesium deficiency shows itself as a small brown green spots near the margins and in the intervenal tissues of the young growing leaves. Later on, straw yellow tissue between the main veins and some of the affected leaves will remain a hollow of green on their margins. Iron deficiency. Iron, Fe, deficiency shows up in the youngest leaves first as pale leaves. This is often called lime-induced chlorosis. Although iron deficiency is generally rare because most soils contain enough iron to meet the requirements of grapevines, the availability can be limited due to the alkaline limestone rock underneath locking up iron and not allowing the grapevines to take the iron up. Iron nutritional problems are generally fixed once the weather warms up and the vine uptake increases. Nitrogen deficiency. Nitrogen is represented by the letter N, and it is extremely important nutrient to the grapevine. When deficient, it can cause low vine vigor. The leaves turn pale green, then progress to yellow. The younger shoots can become pink or red. Necrosis can also happen and is identified as light brown islands of dead tissue, and they appear between the main veins of the basal leaves, and they begin to wilt. The shoot growth is also greatly reduced, and the berries tend to be small. Phosphorus deficiency, the letter P. Phosphorus is considered second only to nitrogen as the most essential nutrient to grapevine function. It is used in photophosphorylation, genetic transfer, the transportation of nutrients, energy production, and the creation of the phospholipid cell membranes. So you can imagine that this being involved in so many aspects of the grapevine is going to lead to serious problems. Phosphorus deficiency shows a very distinct symptom that appears as red dots along the basal leaves, mid and terminal lobes. Over time, the dots line up at right angles to each other and form dark red bars between the veins. The leaves can become hard and stiff. And now, a word from our sponsor. Did you know that Dracaena Wines now has a wine club? We named it the Chalk Club. Draco is on our label, but Vegas was getting a little jealous, so we decided he deserved to be our club spokesdog. In Las Vegas, betting chalk means that you are betting on all of the favorites. We are betting that we are one of your favorite wineries, so we thought the name was apropos. The club is simple, yet a bit different than most. When you wager on us, we will ship you 3 bottles of wine twice a year, once in April and once in September. You can choose all red or mix of red and rosé. You immediately receive 15% off of all your wine purchases throughout the year, but what makes our club stand out is the progressive discount. Let your club membership ride into the next year, your discount increases. Each year you parlay your membership, you receive an additional 5% off up to a planned maximum of 25%. Your club shipments are discounted to a flat $15, plus we'll cover your club shipping cost for your second shipment. That's $15 house money in a sure bet for you. So please head to our website, DracaenaWines.com, and find out all of the benefits of joining the Chalk Club and how to sign up. We've stacked the odds so that you can get our award-winning wines without breaking the bank. Next up is calcium deficiency, abbreviated CA. This is a little different from many of the other nutritional deficiencies, and that is not so obvious in the leaves, but rather it is more obvious in the resulting fruit. Since calcium regulates ripening of fruits and stimulates their coloring, the result of the deficiency is a browning discoloration and rotting on the tips of the grapes. The grapes will then desiccate and ultimately lead to fruit necrosis. Boron deficiency, represented by the letter B. Boron is most important for flowering, fruit set, and helps with even fruit ripening. It is one of the most serious non-parasitic grapevine diseases and is most prominent in strongly acidic soils, which is pH 3.5 to 4.5. There are plenty of signs that the vine is deficient in boron. You typically see short internodes and mottled or patched chlorosis in the leaves. There typically is poor or even no fruit set, and the shoot tips can actually die off. Unlike many of the other micronutrients, boron is unique in the fact that there is a narrow range between deficiency and toxicity in the soil and vine tissues. Nitrogen deficiency, N. Nitrogen is mostly acquired by plants in the nitrate and ammonium forms, and for a small part as a small organic molecules, such as amino acids, urea. Nitrogen is important for many vine functions, including not only the overall growth, but fruit formation, set, and size. Nitrogen is necessary for many vine functions, including overall vine growth, fruit bud formation, fruit set, and fruit size. Therefore, a vine that is deficient in nitrogen can show less or low vine vigor. The leaves will turn a pale green and then ultimately yellow, while young shoots and the petioles can become pink. The berries tend to be small and the shoot growth greatly reduced. Zinc deficiency, ZN. Zinc deficiency tends to show first in younger leaves. Deficiency can stunt growth and lead to the development of small leaves with widened petiolar sinuses. The leaves also show chlorosis within the spaces between the veins. There may also be necrotic spots and leaf roll. So there you have it. You just graduated from Vine Soil 101. I hope it was interesting and you learned a bit more about vine health. Maybe the next time you walk through the vineyard, you will be more aware of the health of the vines you are observing. The berries always get the attention, but they could never make great wines if it weren't for the green stuff. If you are interested in seeing the photos corresponding to these deficiencies, there will be a link to the post on our podcast homepage. Sláinte! Thanks for listening to Dracaena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Google, and Periscope as @DracaenaWines. I am also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd, or email us at DracaenaWines.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find us more easily. We are found on all of your favorite aggregators. To subscribe easily to iTunes, go to bit.ly/DracaenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/DracaenaPodcast. And that's a capital D for Dracaena and capital P for podcast. Please check out our award-winning wines and find out about our wine club at DracaenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte!